Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station we're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course, of our callers. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Don Henke, and he's put together a very interesting DVD on the story of the strange crash of John Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr., who died as his plane was approaching Martha's Vineyard few years ago. So, John, how did you get interested in the strange death of John Fitzgerald?
Hi, Dr. Stan. How are you doing?
I'm doing just...
Well, I have to tell you that, I mean, this takes me back all the way to when I was in sixth grade, and I was very interested in the death of his father, John Kennedy Sr., way back in those days. Geez, but he gave me a bootleg copy of the Zapruder film, which started me off. I mean, history had been my favorite subject, but apparently, when I saw the Zapruder film, it was clear to me that I hadn't learned any history. Although I had been studying very hard, I'd learned a lot of mistruths, I guess we'll call them. In any case, you asked me the question when I was, how I got into this one, on John Kennedy Jr. I remember very, very vividly, it's July 18th, 1999, and 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm 50 miles from home, I'm driving to a teacher's conference, and I hear on the radio that is, and I fly away and met with these teachers all day long, and I get home, and my wife says, let's go out to dinner, and we do, and we sit down at the restaurant and order our favorite food at this Thai restaurant, and I look up, and I see these boats crisscrossing back and forth on the water, and I said, oh no, he's still missing, and then I saw Dan Rather's face, and I said, they've murdered him. I'm not sure how many. Dan Rather was the only newsman who was allowed to see the Zapruder film for 25 years. And right when the thieves found out that there was a copy of a motion picture of the assassination, they all demanded to see it. When they found out that, they started screaming conspiracy. And so in order to quiet them down and allay their fears, they said, well, we'll let one of your group watch it, and he will assure everyone else that it shows what we say that it shows. And they let Rather watch it, and it's on the internet. There is a website, JFK Murdered Solved, that actually has the audio tape of Dan Rather saying that this Zapruder film shows Kennedy's head clearly jerked forward. In any case, I saw Rather, and I was really overcome. They brought the food, and I couldn't eat it because I had Rather gone to sleep on this issue in 1999. Nothing really new had come out in 10 years. Mark Lane had written his book 10 years previously, Plausible Denial, and I don't really substantive that had come out in the 10 years since then, and I'd rather gone to sleep on this topic, but I was shook because he's senior. They then killed Malcolm X, they killed Martin Luther King, they killed Bobby Kennedy at the Vietnam War and killed 50,000 Americans, injured how many thousands and thousands, and killed a million women and children, mainly in Southeast Asia, and I was overwhelmed at the same that these guys were back on the warpath at the same thing. We're about to break
our guest team. We're talking about his video on his death of John Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr. We'll be back in just a moment here to talk more about this with John. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is John Henke, and John has put together a DVD, Death of John Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr., and he's done a great deal of analysis of some of the strange things that hang the death of this very charismatic young man. They very handsome, very well-spoken, publishing George, and although John speaks of several of the things that had been published there, which were very much anti-establishment. One of the things that really intrigued me most was an interview with Mel Gibson, where Mel Gibson talked about the secret society that became the Council on Foreign Relations, its relation to Cecil, John Rhodes, and of course, I thought that was amazing to see that in any magazine. I wondered how long the publisher would live, and of course, I didn't have to wait too long. And so, John Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr., who published George Magazine, that published Mel Gibson's article, or at least an article in which Mel Gibson was interviewed, about the invisible government that runs. John Fitzgerald Jr., Jr., had actually taken an ill-fated plane flight, and so I'm going to let John tell us more. He had become very interested in this when he heard that they told him that Dan Rather had been allowed to look and go a little bit into the background of the murder of the son. And of course, Dan Rather had been the only newscaster had been allowed to see the Zapruder film for many years. So you pick up the story there.
Sure. Well, so I'm going to do a little background, the murder of the father, and then come back. Let me take a breath.
I don't think there's any question at all that John Fitzgerald Kennedy was not killed by Lee Harvey Oswald. He was killed as part of a cover. CIA and the FBI and many people at the highest echelons of our government. And we know that because we've actually talked to a man who was trained in assassination when he was in the Special Forces. And he was told at his Special Forces school that the CIA had coordinated the murder of an American president. Now, this is investigated as a good patriot. He really felt that it must have been justified, otherwise that the government wouldn't have done Kennedy in. Maybe he was a traitor or something. He could justify that as any good soldier would. But now, of course, he looks back and realizes, of course, that John Fitzgerald Kennedy was not killed because he was a traitor. Maybe because he was a good American. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is John Hanke. You pick up the story there, John.
Okay. Well, so way back when, I did a lot of research into the death of the father, and I'm going to start with that. And, you know, I have a DVD that's called JFK2, The Bush Connection, which goes into that and I think demonstrates very, very positively that the president's father, the current president's father, George Bush Sr., supervisor in the assassination of John Kennedy. And one of the realists to me is how obvious some of this, that is to say that, for crying out loud, J. Edgar Hoover wrote a memo, assassination of John Kennedy, in which he identifies George Herbert Walker Bush as a supervisor of anti-Castro Cubans who over the years have been identified many, many times as being very deeply involved in assassination. And so
Where is this directive or this memorandum that you're speaking of? Where is it published, or how can our listeners find that?
It was published by The Nation magazine. Jeez, and I have to apologize for not having that in front of me. It was fairly widely distributed. Again, you can JFK Murder Solved has the you can find that document at JFK Murder Solved.
And that's a website.
That's a website. All right. One word: jfkmurdersolved.com. It's in my video, of course, and Bush claimed that, well, that wasn't him, it must have been another George Bush. And one of the things that my video does that you don't find a lot of other places is that it very, very carefully and thoroughly documents that that had to have been George Bush, that George Bush Sr.'s connections to the CIA, that all of his operations were in the Caribbean at that time, to leaders of the CIA operations in the Caribbean at that exact moment are legion. I mean, there are dozens and dozens of very, very powerful connections between Bush and all of those operations, so that it really gets to be that Bush is the CIA supervisor referred to by Hoover in this memo. The question that I have been asked several times is, why should anybody really care? I mean, this is JFK 40 years old, and what does it have to do with anything? And I think that there's a number of things that I'd like to try to get people to get from the murder of John Kennedy Sr. is that the guy that they put in charge of the investigation was Alan Dulles.
And, of course, Alan Dulles had been the director of the CIA since 1953, and Kennedy had fired him. So why would you take a man who had an intense hatred of JFK and put him in charge of JFK's assassination? That's like getting the fox to guard the hen house to figure out who's stealing the eggs.
Well, it's exactly like that. And the reason that you would get him to do that is because he knows which rocks to turn over, and he knows which rocks to leave where they are, so that if somebody comes up with a red herring and says, oh, here's a fault, we have some suggestion that the Russians were involved, or we have some suggestion that the Cubans were involved, or we have some suggestion that the Mafia were involved in any really important leadership way, he can say, oh, yeah, run off down the street and chase those down and pursue them.
They call those rabbit trails, and, you get following all the rabbit trails, you never find the rabbit, but they're all there as decoys to lead you away from the truth.
So let me ask you this question. Who did they put in charge of the 9/11 investigation? Henry Kissinger. And I think that the lesson that we can draw from, one of the lessons, important lessons that we can draw from the Kennedy assassination, is that Henry Kissinger was probably the mastermind of September 11th, given that he is the person that they tried to put forward as the leader of the investigation. And when his name came out, he was so connected in so many ways to so many of the most serious beneficiaries of the result, all the various defense industries and Saudis and the bin Ladens, for that matter, that there were objections. It came clear that all of his connections were going to be investigated. He withdrew. But so that's one lesson that I draw from the Kennedy assassination. The second lesson that I think is extremely valuable and really, really helps us get to the bottom of the murder of John Kennedy Jr. is this question of what happened as a result of his participation, which is to say that George Bush Sr. Joined, there's an expression in the Mafia that you make your bone, and that is to say that you commit a murder, you want committed, and you commit it in front of them so that they have the evidence against you, and you are now able to sit down at the table of the leaders of the various capos, right? You can sit down at the table with the capos when they're discussing murder and mayhem and robbery and so on, and they can trust you not to say anything because they have as much on you as you will have on them. I taught in South Central Los Angeles and had many, many, many people who were involved in gangs and in murder, and it's one of the lessons that's really the place that I first learned that, was that this is how gangs operate, that if you're in a murderous gang and you want to join, one of the things that you have to do is commit a murder on their demand, and then that allows you entrance. And it seems to me very clear that this is what George Bush Sr. did, that he became the chosen candidate, that then he ran for Senate in Texas and lost, and they picked him up and dusted him off and set him off again in Texas again and lost, and they picked him up and they dusted him off and they got him a job in the White House. He was up to his neck in Watergate.
He was actually for a while, and then he became the director of the CIA.
I'm leaving big chunks out. When the first time they picked him up and dusted him off, made him the Republican candidate in a district that was 80% Republican, so that if you make him the Republican candidate in that district, you are making an election he doesn't have to win. He couldn't possibly lose it. They sent him off to China when, in the middle of Watergate, they plucked him out of the White House and sent him off as ambassador. Brought him after Nixon was forced to resign and Carter got in, and the Senate was starting to investigate the Kennedy assassination. Then they made him the head of the CIA, and what he did as the head of the CIA, he replaced William Colby, who had been cooperating with that committee investigating the Kennedy assassination, and he shut that committee down. Let it go, because I want to establish the point that I think that the table that these guys sit at is the table of the Illuminati, and that in order to win a seat at that table, you murder, and that when you commit a murder, you then become a made man.
I really don't think Henry Kissinger would ever have the courage to commit a murder. He might send other people to do it, but Henry Kissinger isn't going to do that. And I don't think most of these elitists will really kill anybody themselves. They'll just certainly know they're going to be killed and do nothing to stop it.
Well, you mistake me. I don't mean to suggest that George Bush Sr. ever touched a gun. But he was the supervisor. He was the frontline supervisor, right? He was in Dallas on the day of the assassination.
But, of course, can we say that it was necessarily the Cuban National rather than a CIA hit team or special forces hit team?
I'm sorry, say that again?
How do we know that it was the Cubans that were responsible? Certainly they hated JFK. Many Cubans did because of the betrayal of their brethren at the Bay of Pigs. But how do we know that it was the Cuban hit team that that actually set up the assassination rather than a CIA hit team or a contract hit team or maybe a special forces hit team?
I don't mean to suggest that any of those are exclusive. That is to say, the fact that Bush was on the scene with his Cubans, which is very well documented by very many sources, important of which is probably Marita Lorenz, and we could get into that if you like. I don't mean to suggest that Bush or necessarily any of his people were pulling the trigger. There were a number of triggermen, right? I mean, it's one of the points that I make in my video is that a conservative estimate is that there were at least six shooters who fired upwards of 14 shots. Right, I mean, you can document 14 shots between the bullet holes in the windshield and the bullet holes in the people and the bullet holes in the sidewalk and the bullets that the police found in the grass. And I'm in no way persuaded that all of those shooters were on the same team, that some of them may have been mafia, some of them may have been CIA contract killers, and some of them may have been military contract killers, so on. It's a fairly complicated situation, and I don't want to get too awfully much into that because I want to have some time to get to John Kennedy Jr. and the evidence in that case.
All right, fine. Go ahead. I think that there's no question. Anybody who's ever studied the Kennedy assassination knows that it was a cover-up. The government covered up. And I think that we can verify that by the House committee that investigated that, the select committee that investigated that, they concluded there were at least four shots fired and then immediately disbanded because the congressman wanted to live to old age. And they knew that if they looked into it any further and began pointing fingers at who in our government had covered this whole thing up, that they'd end up, very, very dead. So the congressmen, being human beings like anybody else, did put together a report that said there was a conspiracy and now we're going to adjourn.
Very good. So jumping into the evidence in the John Kennedy Jr. case, the official story, if you get to the most you can, you will find that the official story is that the plane was not reported missing until it was reported missing at 3 a.m. to the Coast Guard, the Kennedys named Carol Rattlewell. The question is, what do you suppose the Kennedys were doing from 10 p.m. when the plane was due until 3 o'clock in the morning? And the answer to that, which, again, you don't have to go very deep, it's all over the media, that the family was calling the FAA, and the FAA ignored the family's phone calls. The family, the first documented phone call to the FAA to report the plane missing was at 10 a.m. Senator Kennedy was brought in when they couldn't get the FAA to do anything from 10 to 11. Senator Kennedy was brought in at 11 and began making phone calls and continued to make phone calls to the FAA until 2 o'clock in the morning and was unable to get any action out of them. This woman named Carol Rattlewell, in an act of desperation, said, well, if we can't get the FAA to move, let's call the Coast Guard. And they called the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard was cooperative and said, yes, of course, we will initiate a search. And unfortunately, the first thing they did was call the Air Force, and the Air Force sent them off to Long Island, 50 miles away from where the crash had in fact occurred and where they knew that the crash had occurred. So they sent the Coast Guard on a wild, and we'll pick it up when we come back.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment here with John Hankey. It's an amazing story as to what happened to the father and then what happened to the son. Was this just an accident, or was there much more to it than that? We'll be right back in just a moment. This is a fascinating four tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews around of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies. Genocide. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolution. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available to care professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you're around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today at 544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a...
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is John Hank. He has put together a DVD talking about the strange death of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, Jr. So pick up the story from there.
Well, we were just discussing how the family, to get the FAA to act starting at 10 a.m. and at 3 a.m., they gave up on trying to get the FAA to act, and they called the Coast Guard. At 6:30 in the morning, Kennedy woke up Clinton, and Clinton called the
That was Senator Kennedy, right?
Senator Kennedy.
Right, right.
Was able to get through to, actually, he called Podesta, Clinton's chief of staff, and Podesta woke up Clinton, and Clinton ordered the Air Force to get some ships into the air and to begin a search, and of course a search, and they scattered the planes Atlantic. They scattered the planes and ships all over the Atlantic because they didn't have a more focused area to search. Well, that's where I want to pick it up, is to look at the information that the FAA and the Air Force had at the time.
And, of course, they knew exactly where the plane had gone down, so pick up the story.
Very good. Flyer, people with money, and people with money make sure that the government serves their interests, certainly the billionaires do, and in any case. The system that is set up to protect people who fly is state-of-the-art. It's very highly advanced, and every aircraft in the country is required to carry what's called an ELT, an emergency locator transmitter. These things are designed to go off on impact. They're designed to survive an impact into solid rock and certainly an impact into water, and then begin broadcasting satellites up in the sky that pick up the signal that is sent out and are then able to alert the FAA to the fact that one of these has gone off and locate it to within a matter of a few yards. That's what a person at the Coast Guard told me, is that these were accurate to within a few yards. In addition to which, John Kennedy's plane went down in the Northeastern Corridor, which is certainly the most busily, carefully watched piece of airspace in the world.
But I think it's more important that he was coming in to land at Martha's Vineyard. He'd already called the tower there.
Well,
he was what about?
We're going to get to that.
Okay.
ABC, we're starting with the ELT, the emergency beacon. ABC showed of it. It's in my video that that ABC broadcast a picture of this beacon. So they had information from the emergency locator beacon. It went off. ABC had the information, but the Coast Guard didn't. The Civil Air Patrol didn't. The FAA and the Air Force had the information. Now, ABC got there, but the people who were responsible for searching for the plane were not able to get this. Were not able to get this information. There's another piece of information that the FAA had. When you do a radar search, it's called an NTAP. When a plane takes off, they radio the tower to get permission to take off, and at that time they give the tower their registration number, and all aircraft, private aircraft, begin with an N. So they give the N number to the tower, and an NTAP means they go back to takeoff. They find the broadcast of the N number, they follow the blip as it takes off, and they follow it until it disappears. The New York Times says the information from the NTAP was available at 5 a.m., but the Coast Guard was kept plowing the waters all up and down the eastern seaboard for another 8.5 hours after this information, according to the New York Times, was available. And then finally, of course, in my video, I have the actual broadcast where the Coast Guard spokesman, his name is Todd Burgun, comes on and announces that John Kennedy Jr. contacted the tower at 9:39.
No, that was the tower in Martha's Vineyard.
The tower at Martha's Vineyard at 9:39, that he was on final approach with, and that he was 14 miles from the airport and was at 2,500 feet. Burgun is speaking when he says this at about 11:30 in the morning. The point is that this information is absolutely accurate. When you get the NTSB records, the NTSB very carefully documents where the plane was at various minutes before the crash, and at 9:38, the plane began descending from 5,500 feet. At 9:39, the plane reached 2,500 feet. At 2,500 feet, you have to contact the tower. You're not allowed to descend below 2,500 feet without contacting the tower, so it's absolutely positively accurate to say that that Kennedy contacted the tower at 9:39. He would have had to. If Burgun had said 9:38, he would have been inaccurate. If he had said 9:40, he would have been inaccurate, because at 9:40, the plane was in the water. However, at 1:30, 2 hours later, the Pentagon took over they sent all the reporters to the Pentagon, and they also, at that same time, they buried Burgun's report. They said that there was no contact with the tower, which was a lie. They also said that Kennedy never contacted any of the air traffic control facilities. Well, all of his flight instructors said that Kennedy was the most conscientious, rule-abiding, safety-feature-complying pilot that ever lived, and that, of course, he always contacted every TRACON facility, air traffic facility, that he always filed a flight plan. And the Pentagon began spreading these lies that he hadn't made any contacts, that he hadn't filed a flight plan, and that he hadn't contacted the tower. And they also, and I guess we'll get to the next point.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment here with John Hanke as we begin to explore this fascinating story about of the son of an American president who was murdered, and his death was covered up as well. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177 or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Poe's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located on South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental floss while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
When was the last time you used, I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials?
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest this afternoon, John Hanke. John, go ahead, and John is telling us about what he's found about the strange circumstance, the death of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and despite the fact that the family was calling, for trying to find out what had happened, within 20 minutes of the disappearance of the plane, suddenly all of our government agencies are just so incompetent, and they're sending the rescue vehicles when they finally get out there to all the wrong places, but they know exactly where he's gone down because they have the tracking on this. And so pick up the story there, John.
We were just discussing how Chief Petty Officer Todd Burgun, who's a spokesman for the Coast Guard, had told the ABC affiliate in Boston Kennedy had contacted the tower at 9:39, announcing that he was at 2,500 feet and 14 miles out on his final approach. The Pentagon took over the press coverage at 1. That never happened. But the point that I want to make is that Bergen's report was absolutely precise. The NTSB report shows that Kennedy at 9:39 was exactly where Bergen said he was. Well, how could Bergen have gotten that information except from the people in the tower at the FAA? How could he have gotten the time at 9:39, the altitude 2,500 feet, and the distance 14 miles out at 11:30 in the information unless he got it from the tower? He had to have gotten it from the tower. There can't be any doubt about that. But the Pentagon lied about it, said that it never happened.
Now, why would they lie about something like that, though? I mean, why not just say, yes, we know where he was at that time?
Well, let's get to that, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
Because I want to beat this into the ground a little bit more. The point is, in any case, that when you contact the tower, there's a couple of very, very important things that happen. When you contact any air traffic control facility, they give you a code that you punch into what's called a transponder on your plane. When the transponder then sends out a signal, which is picked up by the FAA's radar, that tells them who you are, and it tells them your altitude, and it tells them your location. And if you descend below 100 feet, it sets off an alarm in the FAA facilities. That means that because Kennedy had contacted the tower, and I'm sure he contacted all of the air traffic facilities on his route because it was absolutely his custom to do so, and it's which is what Kennedy always did. But in contacting the tower, he would have been entered into the system, which means that his plane would have set off alarms at the FAA offices before the plane hit the water. So they knew where he was before the plane even hit the water. But nevertheless, moving on to the next point, when you contact the tower and say that you're on final approach, FAA regulations require that if you do not land within 5 minutes, that they have to immediately begin a search. And this was at 9:30 at night, 9:39, there was no search of any kind, 7 a.m. That was because Clinton ordered them to do so, and when they did it, they scattered the planes. It was a 15-and-a-half-hour delay before they sent the search craft to the local. They positively knew before the plane hit the water, and as I've tried to point out, they knew it not only because he contacted, only because their own radar devices would have told them exactly where he was, but because they had done an NTAP study and because the locator transmitter, which is activated by a crash, also went off, right? We have the evidence from ABC News that is, I mean, they show in their television broadcast the location of the beacon, which just happens to be in exactly the right place. Now, the question then is, well, why would they do anything so insanely provocative, right? The Kennedy family has to be sensitive about this stuff anyhow, of course. I mean, the evidence that Bobby Kennedy was murdered is also overwhelming. The evidence in John Kennedy Sr.'s murder is overwhelming. Edward Kennedy was in a plane crash that but him. They would be extraordinarily sensitive to this. And in fact, there's nothing in any media article. I think it may not be too much to say that I've read every article and every piece of media that's been written on this topic. And there is one mention that Edward Kennedy was furious at the FAA. There's no explanation of why he was furious. Why would they do such an incredible provocation? And I'm going to get to that as soon as I deal with this last point, which is the question of whether or not there was a flight instructor on the plane. At 7 o'clock in the morning, I was certain, right as I was driving to this teacher conference, I started off talking about that. My first news that Kennedy's plane was missed, there was a flight instructor on the plane. At least I thought that they did. And from that point on, I didn't hear another word about it. And I was, wondering, did I just imagine this? Or what happened to the story? And, well, it turns out if you do, an exhaustive search, you will find out that Kennedy always took a flight instructor with him. The NTSB, in 6 months of looking, could not find one documented incident where Kennedy ever without a flight instructor, and there's numerous reasons why that would be. The one point is that the cast had been removed the day of the flight, or maybe a couple of days before the flight. The cast had been removed, but he was still on crutches, and his ankle was still uncomfortable, and he told Richard Blow, his lieutenant at George Magazine. Blow looked at his ankle and said, "You're going to be flying with that?" And Kennedy said, "Don't worry, I'm going to have a flight instructor with me." You don't need your feet to fly the plane, but you do need to move the plane around on the ground. There are foot pedals that you have to operate, and the general judgment is that he could have done that with a cast on his foot, but it would have been very uncomfortable, and it would have been, therefore, much more convenient for him to have had a flight instructor. You would imagine that he would bring one along because he could afford to buy himself that sort of convenience. The third point, I think, that indicates that Kennedy would have had a flight instructor is the fact that his absolutely unanimous and overwhelming in saying that he was enormously responsible. He never did anything that was illegal or remotely dangerous, and he would have had to take a flight instructor with him on that flight in order to be legal. It had been a very, very hazy summer. He had flown to Martha's Vineyard, I think, 8 times that summer, and on all of the night flights, he ended up flying on instruments. He had a license that allowed him to fly visual flight rules without instruments, but in order for him to be legal, because he didn't have the instrument license, he would have had to have a flight instructor with him. It's an interesting observation that he had taken the written exam and passed it to get an instrument license. He had taken the performance exam and had passed it to get an instrument license, but he didn't have an instrument license, and therefore it would have been illegal for him to do it, and John never did anything that was remotely resembling something that was illegal. The last piece of evidence that I would suggest indicates that there must have been a flight instructor on that plane. Well, there's actually two. First of all, two more. The person who made the phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning has to be to the Coast Guard, right? I mean, I mentioned before how the Kennedy family was contacting the FAA and couldn't get anywhere, and there is no public record of any of those phone calls. The FAA today, the Kennedy family, ever contacted them to report the plane missing. You can find numerous news references to it, but the FAA says, no, it never happened. The brilliant person, a family friend, who said, well, look, let's going to do this, she reported that there was a flight instructor on that plane. She has to be taken as the best available evidence that there was a flight instructor on that plane. In any case, It's the only evidence. There, any evidence that there is says that there was a flight instructor on that plane, and at 1:30, when the Pentagon took over and was lying and saying that Kennedy didn't contact the tower, and was lying and saying that he didn't file a flight plan, and was lying and saying that he didn't contact any of the air traffic facilities, they also lied and said that there was no flight instructor on that plane. What is the basis of that report? There can't be any basis for that report. There is not evidence to give anybody the intent that Kennedy didn't have a flight instructor on that plane. Nevertheless, that story just it steamrolled all of the reports in the media up until that point, which were based on Radiwell's report. All of the media stories up until that point said that Kennedy had a flight instructor on the plane, and that story just got erased.
Well, John, one of the things I'm curious about was when they found the wreckage of the plane, was it pretty well intact? Was it shattered? You know, you mentioned that one of the seats was missing, but was it intact or not?
The reason I assume you're asking that question is because there have been some reports that there was a bomb on the plane.
Right.
And if a bomb goes off at 2,500 feet, you would expect it to over an enormous area. And the only answer I can give you to that question is that when the pictures that show the wreckage being brought up show the vast in that big chunk of wreckage.
All right. In other words, most of it was not blown apart or anything, just totally shattered at all.
It certainly wasn't scattered over the miles that you would expect it to be scattered if the plane was blown up at 2,500 feet.
And were the bodies in the plane when they came up, do we know?
John's body, according to I believe I got this from the NTSB, John's body was pinned the steering yoke, and the girls' bodies, the women's bodies, were on the ocean floor.
All right.
However, if we're going to take lessons from the Kennedy assassination, the original Kennedy assassination, John Kennedy Sr., I believe he was shot at 1:20, and minutes later, 2 o'clock, the doubling press conferences, and saying that he had entrance wounds on his throat and on his right temple, Kennedy's assistant press secretary stood up in front of the assembled media, and this is also in my video, JFK to the Bush Connection, and he pointed to his right temple and said that it was a bullet straight through the head. He's indicating a shot from the right temple and through the head, and he doesn't go this far as showing you out the back thing, but that it's from the front, that it's from the right, and that it's into the temple. That story got erased. And it got erased based on, and given that history, I'm very willing to draw the conclusion, the necessary conclusion, that positively, I mean, if with all of the flight instructor on the plane, my guess would be that there was a flight instructor on the plane. Given asthm and the energy with which that story was erased, that there was plane, and without any basis at all, was replaced by a report that there was no flight instructor, I'm persuaded that, to me, that's the proof positive that there must be.
But who was the flight instructor, and why does no family ever asked whatever happened to them? That's the question that came to my mind after watching the video.
Well, I'm going to get to that.
All right, fine.
I thought I dealt with it a little bit in the video, but what I want to do, what I'd like to do at this point, is try to assemble the evidence and see what we can do with it, which is that I put it as point number one, that there had to have been a flight instructor on that plane. The fact that no flight instructor's body was recovered is not representative of anything. The percentage of bodies recovered from a plane crash in the ocean is extremely low. Right? It would be extraordinary to recover 50% of the bodies from a plane crash at sea. So the fact that there was no flight instructor is absolutely no evidence that there was no flight instructor on the plane. The solid gold, right, the essential evidence as to who was on that plane exactly and whether or not there was a flight instructor would be to look at the flight log. Well, I have spoken to people who are nervous enough that I need to not say too awfully much about them, but you would have to the people that I spoke, the best witnesses, the most knowledgeable witnesses about this particular question, which is where John kept his flight log. And these people told me that John kept his flight log in duffel bag on his plane. The flight log is where you record who's on the plane, and you record it and you put it back wherever it is that you keep it, and then you take off on the flight, and it's there so that if they can recover that, the insurance companies can know who they have to pay off and who they don't have to pay off, right? There's only a million stories about people who bought tickets and didn't get on planes, and then the planes crashed and they tried to collect the insurance. Anyhow, fog is demonstrative. It is considered the answer. Sea Marine duffel was recovered. The witnesses that I told you about saw the CNN, they saw the aquamarine duffel. They actually saw it in the video footage on CNN, and then the duffel disappeared, and so did the flight log, which is, as far as I'm concerned, just way, and another piece of evidence that there was indeed a flight instructor on that plane, and that that piece of information is being withheld from us. Secondly, we know that they delayed the rescue. They delayed search and rescue craft from getting to the crash area for 15 and a half hours. And doing this was an enormous provocation to the Kennedy family. You have to come up with an answer for why they would do such a thing. And my answer, and if somebody else has anything remotely resembling a reasonable answer to this question, I would be delighted to hear it. But my answer to the question is that they delayed that in order to recover the body of the flight instructor. The question then is, well, why the hell would they want to grab the body of the flight instructor? Why not just allow the body of the flight instructor to be recovered? And so my lead into that is that, you know, I got my hands on the NTSB report. It was an enormous fight to get my hands on the NTSB report. And the NTSB report shows that it looks like a suicide. The plane fell out of the sky like a rock. There's no hesitation. There's no disorienting turns, as the NTSB suggested perhaps happened. The plane fell straight down. And 113 of a 500-page report, we find that the fuel selector valve was shut off. And I called around. I mean, that strikes you as extraordinary, I hope. Why would anybody shut off the fuel to the motor? You're having trouble with your plane. Your plane is falling out of the sky. Why would you shut off the fuel selector valve? And what we find out, I called around all these flight instructors, and I found one. I said, you know that happened in flight Egypt Air 990. And I said, what are you talking about? Egypt Air 990 was full of Egyptian military people, and somebody, he says, and, you know, you can find this at the NTSB website, and it's all over the Internet if you type in Egypt Air 990. This pilot named Patuti walked in, and he turned off the selector valve. He cut off the fuel to the motors. He then grabbed the steering yoke straight down into the ocean. Five other pilots grabbed him and tried to pull him away, and they succeeded in doing that, but it didn't make any difference because he had killed the engine, so the plane was not recoverable.
And, of course, that was the Egyptian flight that went down. Hey, but just about out of time, how can information, what's your website, what's your telephone number?
It's jfkii.com. You can email me at info@jfkii.com. If you want to order the DVD, you can't do that now. You have to wait till regular business hours. The number, Joyce Riley is handling that for me. It's area code 877-817-9829. You can send me an email at info@jfkii.com. And my home phone is area code 310-301-7712.
All right. Well, now there's a lot more that we haven't covered. I spent this the other evening. And the name of the video again? What's the name?
JFK Jr. It doesn't have much of a name more than that at the moment. JFK Jr. and JFK 2, the Bush connection. The individually is $20. If you get them both, it's $30.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you with us, John.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Okay, we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up today's program right here at Radio Liberty. We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. And we're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we have actually two four-tape sets on the Kennedy assassination. We have a great book written by Gregory Douglas called Redecide, which is supposedly based upon the papers of the man in the CIA who actually planned what happened. All of we have a fascinating story with a list of CIA contacts, and one of them happened to be an ex-neighbor neighbor, so I put a lot of credence into that story. And then, of course, we have the book Killzone by Craig Roberts. So you can, of course, we also carry the book Texas in the Morning, written by Lyndon Johnson's mistress. Fascinating insight into what happened. The Elite Serial Killers by Galen Ross. All of these books available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If they could kill the President of the United States and get away with it, if they could kill his brother, Bobby Kennedy, and remember, the shots came from behind, but Saran Saran was standing in front. Certainly, they killed Martin Luther King. James Earl Ray didn't do it. There's certainly, this was actually, there was a trial on this, put on by the King, Martin Luther King's family. The judge and the jury decided that the government was actually involved in the murder of Martin Luther King, and the fact you never heard about that simply shows the degree of control that exists today of what the American people think. The author of that book was Pepper, and if you want more information on it, and we can tell you how to get the book. We don't actually carry it, but we'll be glad to put you in the right direction to get it. If they could do all of those things, what makes you think that they couldn't have a time the attack was coming on the World Trade Center? We know that they knew the attack was coming on the Oak Borough Building, because we have interviews with the lawyer who defended Carol Howe, who told the government that they were going to blow up the Murrah Building. Carol Howe was the daughter of a very wealthy family in Oklahoma. The government wanted to send Carol Howe to jail for the rest of her life to silence her so the American people would never hear her story. That, of course, is in the second of our four tape sets on Oklahoma City. If these things could happen, what makes you think they couldn't have known there was going to be an attack on the World Trade Center and left those people to die and been able to conceal the truth about what really happened since then? You need to get our three books, $95 for all three of them, Foreknowledge, 9-1-1, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, or our three booklets on the occult hierarchy that rules the world, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. And then, of course, we have a booklet. It's only $3.95 on the history of money. One on the genetic engineering, and the last one, we are a republic. You need to know the difference between a republic and a democracy so that you can begin to educate others. And that's your assignment, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we do what we do 5 hours a day to give you the tools to educate others so that they can become to know what's going on and began to educate others. Please go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like to know why your utility bill is going up this winter, why you'll certainly want to get our latest newsletter, Peak Oil Part 2, and if you haven't been in touch with my ministry before, why you can certainly give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 448927. And we'll be glad to send you free of charge a copy of my newsletter, Peak Oil 2, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, and it should be posted there, if not now, very, very soon. And then, of course, we do. Many of you may want to even get the Big Berkey water filter. We do carry them, and if you buy them through us, either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, well, you'll get a free video or 4-tape set we produced. And that will help Radio Liberty continue doing what it's doing 5 hours every day, reaching out across America with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You can get the Kennedy special if you'd like. And then please pray for America.